Welcome to Everything Cha-Ching. I am your host, Jamin Armstead, financial advisor and owner of J. Deshaun Financial, where your goals are born to succeed. J. Deshaun Financial is where I work with you to help you reach your financial goals. If you have questions or concerns about retirement and college planning, investment strategy, or protecting your family and assets with life insurance, then I am definitely your man. Please visit my website at www.jdeshaunfinancial.com. That's jdeshaunfinancial.com to learn about all of these services and more. All right, y'all, it's money time. It's cha-ching time. And again, welcome. This is Everything Cha-Ching, the radio show that's going to give it to you real. Tired of having financial questions that seem to never get answered? Tired of having financial goals but not sure where to begin, who to reach out to, or what products to even use? Well, sit back, relax, and enjoy, because it's the mission of Everything Cha-Ching to help you improve your financial reality today. We will cut through the corporate rhetoric by speaking with subject matter experts from all areas of the financial services industry, sharing easy-to-understand information that will make sense of your cha-ching and definitely get you money motivated. So without further ado, let's go.
Guest is Mr. Stan Larimer. Now, Stan is known as the godfather of BitShares and the hero. Stan Larimer has 40 years of experience in software, hardware, and systems engineering, program management, business development, and even teaching rocket science at the U.S. Air Force Academy. Stan is CEO of Cryptonomics, a leading custom blockchain development company, as well as father to Daniel Larimer, arguably the finest programmer and visionary in the blockchain industry. Larimer designed it so that hero backing is widely held by strong hands trading on many markets. The hero is the only coin designed for mainstream adoption. All other coins are reliant on demand from speculators or specialized business models that have problems with the current banking system. Few, if any, offer anything that ordinary people want. The hero offers the safety of buried gold, the earnings of a 1960s passbook savings account, and the ability to pay anyone, anywhere, in seconds. So please welcome my guest today, Mr. Stan Larimer. Stan, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
You are very welcome, Stan. I am so glad that you are here and able to have this discussion with me. You know, the topic of cryptocurrency, digital currency, is one that excites me. And so I've really, you know, been anticipating having this conversation, and I'm just really glad to have it with you. You're definitely the man I want to talk to about this, it sounds like. I mean, you know, they call you the godfather of BitShares. So, you know, first of all, kind of share with myself and the listeners, because there's a widespread misunderstanding, right, when it comes to digital currency. And so, you know, just kind of share with us, you know, what is BitShares? What is Hero? And, you know, just kind of share with us, you know, what is it?
All right. Well, I'm assuming that we might want to start with the very beginning. What BitShares sure. is many generations later, highly evolved version of Bitcoin. So for those of the listeners who might not be fully familiar with Bitcoin, maybe I should say a word about that, or do you think everybody
absolutely
totally gets it?
No, absolutely. Start from the ABCs, please.
Okay. Well, the idea behind Bitcoin in the first place was to create a currency that you could exchange with anybody on the planet instantly, something that would essentially not be dependent upon a centralized banking system. And, you know, the problems people have with the banking system, so the original motivation might have been pretty much based on what people don't like about their banks today. So if we were to mention that briefly, if I want to wire money to someplace on the other side of the planet right now, I probably have to fill out a bunch of paperwork, probably pay a pretty hefty fee of $30. I might have to wait 3 days or sometimes 7 days. Might be subject to the bank saying, well, you know, we found an irregularity and we have to hold on to your money for an extra couple of weeks until we sort that out. once it gets to where it's going, the receiving bank might tell the receiver, well, you know, we received your money, but you can't withdraw it for another 7 days because there's a waiting period. And all of that is a lot of frustration. And the people, inventors of Bitcoin, set out to do was to say, well, wait a minute. Why can't I design a system where I can represent value and ownership of tokens or coins and not have any middlemen putting all those extra rules on me on what I could do? Why can't I send it someplace else? And by golly, they did it. I remember about 4 years ago when we formed our company, we had an investor in China who wanted to send his investment to us via Bitcoin. And so he basically says, okay, here it comes. And an hour later, I had it. No messing around. And I thought, well, that's great. 1 hour, that's almost real time. Then I had to send it to an exchange over in London, and that took another hour. The London converted it into dollars and then sent it back to me by wire, and that took 5 business days to get. So that compares the two systems. And since then, BitShares has been invented to improve on that in many ways, but BitShares can do that transfer in 3 seconds. And if you just did it based on performance alone, comparing BitShares to Bitcoin, the way I just compared Bitcoin to the banks, there's 3 seconds versus, well, anywhere from 10 minutes up to an hour on Bitcoin. If you really want to be careful, you might want to wait an hour to have the transaction fully confirmed. So I just typically use a time frame of an hour for Bitcoin and 3 seconds for BitShares. Another thing is Bitcoin has rather low performance in terms of how much it can handle at a time, like a clogged interstate, or in case maybe Bitcoin, a clogged footbridge across the ravine. Bitcoin has traditionally been able to do about 7 transactions per second for the whole planet. So we all line up to use the Bitcoin network. And, you know, 7 of us get to go across a bridge each second. It's kind of the way it works. They have just spent the past year working to get that speed up. And there's a couple. The old Bitcoin was turned off, and 2 new Bitcoins were created that one maybe doubled it and one maybe quadrupled it, so that maybe the fastest Bitcoin transactions today might be on the order of 28 transactions per second. And the other leading currency is similar. Another famous one that's got a large market cap is called Ethereum, and it's maybe 25 transactions per second itself. So to put that in perspective, handling all the transactions of Visa or MasterCard would be more like 4,000 transactions per second. And so you can see right away that we need to continue to do innovation in this industry in order to improve on that. Bitcoin is just like a huge revolution, like Henry Ford's Model T was over the horse and buggy. And so while the Model T is in all our classroom history books as an awesome invention, we don't drive Model Ts anymore. If I want to go across the continent or across the world, I take a jet aircraft. And that would be a better comparison for BitShares, because not only does it do it in 3 seconds, but it can handle tens of thousands of transactions per second, which means many, many Visa and MasterCard levels of loading. And that means it can scale to handle all the world's transactions. And that probably wraps up my initial summary of the huge leap forward Bitcoin did over the banking system and the much bigger leap forward we've gotten to get the BitShares.
And that's awesome. That's such an awesome explanation. Very understandable. Very exciting, because you're absolutely right. A lot of people are disgusted with the banking system. And, you know, when you talk about sending money, you know, domestically or overseas, right, when it really becomes, you know, expensive in the current model of, you know, Western Union or whatever it is you're going to use to transfer the currency, it's very expensive. And with this you know, with cryptocurrency, you're cutting out that middleman. You're cutting out that centralized figure. And so let me ask you this, because there's so many ways that we can really take this conversation. It's just, it's really, I'm going to have you back maybe two or three times. But HERO, now explain to myself and the listeners, what is HERO as it relates to BitShares?
Okay, HERO is a stable coin, a smart coin is what we call it, and that's one of the other advantages of BitShares is smart coin factory. And I guess I should define a smart coin is a coin that has built into it a little program of its own or a little equation that defines its value or how it could be used. And that means that you can do special things with a coin that you might not be able to do. But one of the things that BitShares does is to have a coin track some outside reference in value. Now, just to give you an example, normal coins in the Bitcoin industry, including Bitcoin itself, vary as people speculate on them. And as rumors spread about, you know, what China is going to do today to regulate Bitcoin, for example, has caused Bitcoin to lose 20% of its value today, or within the past at the time this is being recorded, it's had some people scared by what the regulators are going to do. And that causes the value to fluctuate. But on the other hand, that can be good. Bitcoin in the past few years has gone from below $3 to above $3,000 in value.
Correct.
So huge gains are possible, but a lot of people don't want to speculate. They need a coin that they can sleep at night with. And that's what the HERO does. The HERO has an equation that says that its value is guaranteed to be always 5% growth against the U.S. dollar since 1913. And that means that during the whole time that the Federal Reserve has been inflating the dollar and therefore causing the purchasing power of the dollar to drop to maybe be worth 2 cents what it was in 1913 when the Federal Reserve took over, during that same time, the HERO's equation says we're going to grow 5% above the dollar. So it sort of cancels out inflation. And today, the HERO's worth about $160 in today's dollars. And that's even a gain against the 1913 dollar. So on any given day, if you hold the HERO today and send it to somebody tomorrow, it's about the same value. Maybe it's gone up a tiny little bit every day. But over the course of a year, if you hold it, you gain 5%. And there's another advantage over the banking system, right? Because where can you go today, like I could when I was a kid, and get a 5% passbook savings account? Where can you go to get a 5% CD? Well, the HERO is something that you could buy and just hold on to, and it would function like you had bought a 5% CD, except completely liquid, since you can A, cash it out anytime you want, or B, you can send it to somebody as money, right? And so people can price things in HEROs and know that the price doesn't keep changing every day. A lot of problems merchants have is if they accept Bitcoin is, well, as soon as I get the Bitcoin, I got to cash it out back into dollars because tomorrow it might be worth less. It could be worth more, but merchants don't want to be in a currency speculation business. They want to know that they're going to make a reliable profit, and so they got to have a stable currency, and that's what the HERO does.
Man, I really appreciate you sharing that with me, Stan. And so, you know, let me ask you this, because whether you're talking about gold or even Bitcoin or, you know, or BitShares, it seems like, you know, at some point it's tied to the dollar, right? You're talking about the conversion when Bitcoin was really new. It was very, very inexpensive, right? A lot of instability, a lot of speculation, but it was very cheap. Now it's not so much, right? It's I think the last time I looked was, what, $3,800, $3,600, something like that. And so is this a currency that you feel could stand on its own merit? I mean, at the end of the day, you know, the dollar is, you know, it stands on its own as it relates to what it's value is, what it will actually purchase. because the Bitcoin fluctuates, we're looking at that fluctuation not as an independent to itself, but it's fluctuating against the dollar. So is there ever a day that you feel that cryptocurrency will be completely independent of the value of a dollar, or is that an impossibility?
No, I would say that that's true today. It is independent of the value of the dollar.
Okay.
That doesn't mean that there isn't always a money market price in dollars, but the fact that you see Bitcoin going up and down means it's not pegged to the dollar. It's pegged to the demand for Bitcoin.
Okay.
And so, you know, supply and demand works here perfectly. Bitcoin has a fixed supply. And on days when there's more buyers than sellers, price goes up until the market decides who's going to get the new get the Bitcoins. You know, it seeks a price that will balance buyers and sellers, I guess is the way to put it. And in the event that you have a day when there's more sellers than buyers, the price drops. And so that's what you see with China announcing that it's going to close some of the Bitcoin exchanges. That causes people to say, well, there'll be short buyers, so the price should go down, and by golly, that's what you see happening. So it's it has nothing to do with the dollar other than on any given day what people are willing to trade a Bitcoin for a dollar. That ratio fluctuates with demand.
Such a great point. And, you know, and you mentioned China, and I also, you know, Jamie Dimon, who has his fair share of detractors, if you will, but still is very well respected within the financial services community, right? CEO of JP Morgan Chase. And he recently came out and was very, just really just went nuts, right, on Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. So let me ask you this. Do you feel that his perspective of cryptocurrency falls in line with someone who's benefited from the current system and therefore is going to kind of squash something that is a looming threat to the current system as we know it? Or do you feel that it was more of a genuine, you know, perspective, even though obviously it's, you know, counter to the benefits that you see and I see in Bitcoin? You know, can you share your thoughts with that?
Yeah, I think it's a little of both. You know, he's wrong, regardless of what his reason for thinking that he's wrong. His one reason for thinking that is just because, you know, he's trapped maybe in the old paradigm where banks control these sorts of things. The other thing is he recognizes that Bitcoin and digital currencies are a supreme threat to banks like his and their ability to control all aspects of the world. Bankers have tried to control the world, you know, for centuries. It's the second oldest profession, I think. And so he is, of course, going to try to throw cold water on it. He's going to try to enlist the governments of the world to interfere. That's one of the things the big banks have always done, is use regulations under the guise of protecting the consumer, but really it's protecting the big banks and the people who can afford to do those sorts of things. And that's why we have such awful performance in the banking system. That's why we have almost zero or negative interest rates, is because they have absolute power and cornered the market and are able to take advantage of the consumer in unfair ways. And so when they see something that bypasses that whole system, they naturally would like to either suppress it or control it. And certainly there are members of that community who think that they think the magic is in the so-called blockchain technology, and therefore they're developing systems that use the blockchain. But they're so wrong. It's not that technology at all. It's the thing that makes it magical is the decentralization and lack of corruption that is enabled by the blockchain. And if they make a private version of it, that means the blockchain doesn't do any good at all, because they can go in and still play fast and loose with the rules behind the scenes And only blockchains that are public and decentralized are incorruptible. And so they're completely missing the point of why Bitcoin has value. And it's kind of ironic that the banking system is advocating the U.S. dollar, which since 1913 has lost 98% of its purchasing power. Yeah, and they say that Bitcoin is a scam. No, the scam is the U.S. dollar. And, this new generation of your listeners, I think, see that very clearly. I think they're very disgusted with the abuses of the current system and people like Mr. Diamond and what they want to preserve going forward. And, of course, today's battlefield is between the forces that want to keep mankind under the control of a centralized authority that can exploit them versus those who want to emancipate humanity and allow people to deal with each other peer-to-peer without a middleman.
Absolutely, man. Very, very well said, Stan. Very well said. Definitely appreciate you sharing that. And we're going to actually transition into our first break. But before we do, just kind of share with our listeners, for those that want to learn more about Bitcoin, you know, what's a good source to kind of learn about Bitcoin, how it works, and how can you be reached if they, you know, want to reach out to you and pick your brain even more?
Okay, well, the thing that we're creating to help people understand not only the huge leap of Bitcoin and what it's good for, but then the leap beyond Bitcoin, and that would be at a website called thebillionherocampaign.com. And there we've tried to make it easy to go mainstream, coming in and essentially learning about digital currencies and everything you can do with them. And so that's our particular answer to how do we go mainstream, teaching people how to use it. We'll even provide you with some play money so that you can learn to use the system without risking anything. We'll just give it to you for free, let you play. And then when you're ready to start buying different digital currencies, whether it be Bitcoin, BitShares, the Hero, or others, you'll get the training necessary to use it right there. Of course, there's places where you can just Google Bitcoin and see all the different places where you can go learn about Bitcoin, but I wouldn't recommend that because just like the banks aren't going to tell you how much better Bitcoin is, Bitcoin isn't going to tell you how much better BitShares is. So you need to be able to see all of that sort of on one panorama where you can play it with it and have. Now, I'm not claiming I'm that unbiased. I'm going to tell you BitShares is infinitely better than Bitcoin, but at least you'll be able to see an honest assessment of how to use Bitcoin, if for nothing else than a nice way to buy BitShares. So that's where I'd recommend BillionHeroCampaign.com, and I can tell you more about what that website's going to do. We're going to give away $1 billion over the next few years right from that site. So that's a new topic. We can talk about it later.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we will definitely expand on that because, folks, he said billion with a B. So he definitely caught my attention there. So we will be back with more of Stan Larimer in just a few moments. All right, and we are back. Thank you once again for tuning in to Everything Cha-Ching. I am your host, Jamin Armstead, and I am joined today by my very esteemed guest, Stan Larimer, the godfather of BitShares and Hero. So today we're talking about BitShares, Bitcoin, cryptocurrency. And so, Stan, let me ask you this, okay? So let's kind of take it back to the fundamentals, right? I get so excited about the topic that I just go, right? But let me take it back to the fundamentals. When it comes to something as still new and really not fully understood by the majority of people, how can BitShares, let's just stick with BitShares, how can it be purchased?
Well, there's a lot of different ways to purchase BitShares. There are exchanges that you can go to, like openledger.info, which is basically a centralized business or an independent third-party business built on top of the BitShares blockchain. So it gives all the benefits of the decentralized BitShares stuff plus on and off ramps to the rest of the world so that you could wire them some dollars and they'd sell you any of the other things you have on the BitShares network. You can buy Bitcoin, and there's a lot of exchanges that don't have money transmission licenses yet for dealing with fiat, that's government currencies, but they do have the ability to trade between digital currencies like Bitcoin versus BitShares. So you can go to any of them, and one I like in particular is blocktrades.us, and it's a nice little super interface, simple, just two little menus. On the left-hand side, you have a pull-down menu where you can select one of a dozen or so different currencies that you want to spend, and on the other side is a menu of what you want to buy. So you just select, I want to sell Bitcoin and buy BitShares on the two things, and it'll pop up and say, okay, well, in that case, here's the account to send your Bitcoin to, and it'll give you a big, long, gobbledygook list of something like 40 characters that you cut and paste into your Bitcoin wallet, which is a little app you have on your computer, and then from that wallet, you will just simply tell it, hey, you know, send one Bitcoin to this address. And when blocktrades.us gets that, it'll turn around and say, where would you like us to send your BitShares? And BitShares doesn't use gobbledygook addresses. It uses account names. So if my account name is Stan, I type in Stan, and it sends to Stan the corresponding number of BitShares. So that is so super easy that it's amazing. And then a third place that you could learn or could do it is to go to billionherocampaign.com, where our training system lets you, it basically walks through. Just on an ordinary web page, it says, okay, do this step and then do this step. And after about three or four steps, you've got a BitShares account and you've got, you use your credit card and all the details are taken care of for you behind the scenes. And what pops into your BitShares wallet is the BitShares equivalent of the dollars you agreed to pay, $10 worth or whatever. And so lots of different ways to do it. And, you know, everybody has their favorite exchange or third-party company that provides that on-off service.
Awesome. Awesome. Definitely appreciate you. Sounds like there's an online store essentially that you can go to and order your BitShares or your Bitcoin. And so with the amount of different, with the volume of different cryptocurrencies that are out there, I mean, whether, you know, folks like Jamie Dimon or, you know, other detractors want to admit it or not, digital currency is here to stay. It's not going anywhere. It's gaining in popularity. But one of the areas that actually confuses me is that there's so many different types of cryptocurrency out there. So just kind of share with me, I mean, you've kind of touched on a little bit, you know, the speed of delivery, I guess, is one area or characteristic that may be different from one cryptocurrency to the next. But let me ask you this, what are some other differences? And then do you ever foresee a time when they'll just kind of merge or competition will remove? Obviously, competition, you know, picks out the weakest link and then the strongest one is left standing. So just kind of share, you know, how do you see Bitcoin developing as an industry or as a medium, if you will, going forward in the future? Do you see them merging or just there being one, like there's only $1? How do you see that?
I would sincerely hope that there never boils down to one. There's rapid innovation happening everywhere in the industry. And we want that to happen. Of course, everybody who becomes successful, this includes Bitcoin, wants the innovation to stop so they can remain number one, right? So that's why I warn people, if you go talk to a Bitcoin expert, they're going to give you the same story that Jamie Dimon gives you about the dollar in the old banking system. No, you don't need to go with any of these so-called altcoins. You know, stick with Bitcoin. It's all you need. And Jamie Dimon, one generation earlier, is saying, stick with the current banking system. That's all you need. So I would say the biggest mistake journalists make is they go find some expert in the Bitcoin industry, and you might as well go find Jamie Dimon to tell you whether Bitcoin is any good. It's the same exact problem. So my first rule is, go look into the different coins. Almost every coin has a community with a place where people meet and discuss what they're doing. They probably have a white paper describing why their coin is special or unique. When Bitcoin first started out, it was, brand new technology, but it was open source, so anybody could go get a copy of it and change the name from Bitcoin to Dogcoin or Pizzacoin or, anything they wanted, Canada's coin. And so, the initial proliferation was not really any new technology, just people saying, well, Bitcoin's been successful. Why don't I make one and put my name on it? And let me comment on that. That sounds really superficial and stupid, okay? But if I have a coin that's called Mars coin that is supposed to be the coin that will be used if we ever colonize Mars, I might attract that demographic of people that dream of colonizing Mars. Or if I have one called permaculture coin that attracts enthusiasts for permaculture, you can build communities around a coin, even if it's got no new good technology. And so early on, that's what exactly happened. We got a lot of coins that weren't different in any material way other than they were designed to, serve a specialized community. That's still a valid model. I personally don't find that useful. I find it useful to have global currencies that are generically useful, so you get enough users out there to make it a good coin. If you make something specialized down to, one-eyed Jack coin or something, it's going to be too limited in its usefulness, and it's never going to serve as a general purpose currency. So that was one category, is just dividing up coins by demographic and so on. Then there's another category where, this is where the real innovation happens. Smart geeks come along and say, well, I understand how Bitcoin works, but I think I could make it a lot better if I changed this feature or that feature. And that's what happened in Bitcoin recently when they got rid of the original Bitcoin and switched to two successor Bitcoins because the community couldn't agree on which way forward in terms of technical changes. And so one of them said, I'm going to make the place so-called blocks on the blockchains where we write down all the transactions that happen. I'm going to make that twice as big so we can handle more transactions. And someone else said, no, I want to just pack the data in there differently and I can fit more data in. And they couldn't agree, so they split. Now we have two Bitcoins. One kept the original name Bitcoin and the other one's called Bitcoin Cash. And their only difference is this embarrassingly small technical difference. But those two coins out now there, and people who, are investing in both. And the cool thing about it is that everybody who owned an original Bitcoin now has one each of the new, and the two added together are worth more than the original one. So perfectly valid to have even dumb, stupid little simplistic changes like that are a perfectly valid way to increase the genetic diversity of the industry and add value. So there's an idea of something that worked fabulously, generated maybe another $10 billion of industry value just from that simple thing. And compare that to BitShares, where literally everything about Bitcoin was changed and souped up and made to run real time. And so 100% of the technology in Bitcoin has been replaced. As you might expect in moving from a Model T to a Starship, you won't find any Model T part sitting in the Starship. And so another whole category. Now, I'm going to pause for a second to let you breathe, but I just told you about a couple kinds of coins, and I got a couple more to talk about.
Yeah, no, that is amazing. It's the information is so overwhelming, and you almost have to really, the saying, think outside the box. I mean, when it comes to these cryptocurrencies, you really have to think outside the box. It's kind of hard to untrain yourself, right, to think a certain way about a certain topic. And when we talk about currency, when we talk about transactions and investing, right, we've been programmed just by virtue of how our economic system has been set up for so many years, that this is the only way it can taste, right? And so let me ask you this, because I'm really trying to break down, you're doing such a great job of explaining the dynamics of the cryptocurrency and BitShares and Bitcoin too, for that matter. And so let me ask you this, as cryptocurrency gains in popularity, there are many retailers that are now coming out and saying, hey, we accept, you know, X Bitcoin or BitShares. Even though we have this large number of Bitcoin and digital currency out there, do you really see the retailers beginning to accept all of those, or are they going to, you know, start picking out the ones that they, you know, feel more comfortable with? I mean, how do you see that going? Because, you know, if I'm a consumer and I'm interested in using Bitcoin, not necessarily for speculation purposes, but for actual ease of commerce, then that's going to be one of the things I look at, is where can I even spend my Bitcoin money at, or my BitShares money at? So just kind of, you know, share a little bit with myself and the listeners on your perspective on that, you know, the retailer's relationship with the digital currency.
Well, Jamie Dimon would like you to believe that you should use dollars because they're accepted everywhere, okay? And Bitcoin would like you to believe that you need to use Bitcoin because they're number one and they're accepted more places than any other digital currency. So they should get to stay number one because they got to be number one first, okay? But already, a lot of work is being done to make what kind of coin you have not matter. There are services that will allow you to load an ordinary debit card, the one that's in your wallet right now, with any of the popular digital currencies. I think there's about 40 of them. And so the answer is that the direction we're moving is that you'll go up to a point-of-sale terminal and you'll swipe your debit card just like you always did, and the merchant won't know what kind of digital currency, or whether it's dollars or whatever. So the whole idea that there's some advantage to being Jamie Dimon or a Bitcoin enthusiast, that whole thing goes away, and the point of sales will hide all that information for you so that the merchant just gets paid in whatever currency he or she wants to be paid in and doesn't have to think about being a specialist in digital currency theory.
Okay. All right. Perfect. Perfect. And so, you know, one of the, you and I were talking before we went on the air, just in generalities, I had mentioned a documentary that was on Netflix, and it's a really good documentary. It's called Banking on Bitcoin. And it's just, it's a, you know, really enlightening documentary. But one of the things that I came away with was, you know, you have your detractors like Jamie Dimon, who, you know, get up on Capitol Hill or wherever they're speaking and just, you know, rib the digital currency industry. But yet the government has, in fact, valued digital currency as a legitimate currency because now they've stepped in and started regulating digital currency. So kind of share with myself and the listeners, you know, where do you see that going? Because the whole point of Bitcoin or digital currency, right, was to have an unregulated means of transaction.
Well, I would phrase that last sentence a little differently. Its goal is not to have an unregulated currency. It's to have a currency that's regulated by a system that's incorruptible.
Okay.
We already we've heard horror stories of big banks just getting a slap on the wrist for doing egregious things with their customers' money, and some little guy that didn't even know he was breaking a rule going to jail for 5 years because of some arcane rule somewhere out there in some country. And keep in mind, every country has their own set of laws of how to regulate this stuff, so it's a minefield if you're in this business trying to figure out how to comply with everything. But we have a saying in the industry is that the code is the law. So all the regulations are encoded on the blockchain already, and we trust those honest robots that are running the blockchain more than we trust the bankers and the other regulators in the current system. Now, there's a lot of good people that are bankers and good people that are regulators, but they're humans, and we all know that humans make mistakes or can be bought or have philosophical goals that, you know, go beyond just being a fair umpire, and that the whole current system is rife with those kind of problems, and we see it happening all the time with MF Global, where, you know, people's money was used for bad purposes and the losses were passed on to them, where all the profits went to somebody else. There's tons of that kind of stuff going on. And so we all agree that we need regulations, but the whole theory of the digital currency Bitcoin industry is it's better to have regulations encoded in software and running on many computers all over the world, and those computers check each other to detect if anybody breaks the rules and kick that robot out if he does that. So that's the key secret ingredient. And if you get somebody like Jamie Dimon saying, well, we're going to have a bank-run network that is using the exact same technology as Bitcoin, I'm going to say, well, then you, Jamie Dimon, control the software on all those computers. And if you want to go in and make a change so you can cheat, what's to stop you? And so that's the key thing that we want to say is, yes, work with the regulators. We have a self-regulating body that is being formed. One of the things that people don't realize is that the Securities and Exchange Commission was born as a self-regulating body. Nowadays, it seems to operate with the force of government because it's evolved in that direction. But correct. In general, the law says that each industry has the opportunity to regulate itself. And if it does so, then the government doesn't need to get involved. I'm speaking U.S. law now. It's different in China and so on. But what that means is that if we don't regulate ourselves, then they're going to do it for us. But, of course, that's the ultimate challenge, right? As soon as you get human regulators in there, then you wind up having, over time, those regulators maybe are not playing fair. So we have to always watch that in the struggle for freedom. But right now, if people want to know about regulations, they should go to TXSRB. That's the Token Exchange Self-Regulating Body. We've already been in talking to the SEC about what that body would do. We're talking to ex-members of the SEC is a better way of saying it, lawyers who had a lot of experience in that industry and wrote a lot of the regulations. And they absolutely liked and said, that's the proper way to do it. Regulate yourself and staff yourself with elected people from your industry who understand your industry rather than importing a bunch of regulations from, you know, ancient industries that were regulated in an earlier time. That doesn't mean that those regulations won't have to take into account longstanding American securities law. There's something called a Howey test that tells you whether something is a security, and it's illegal to market unlicensed securities. So just because you've got a blockchain does not change the fact that the blockchain is just another way to use a paper stock certificate, and it doesn't absolve you from compliance with U.S. regulatory law or China law or European law or whatever.
Or international law. Okay, awesome. That is awesome. Very well said. Really, really good to know. And so, you know, you mentioned blockchain a couple of times. Just for clarity, for our listeners and myself, just really quick, explain blockchain.
Okay, I'll create a mental image for you of a three-ring binder with a lot of sheets of paper in it, okay? And let's say that we start out when Bitcoin was born with an empty binder, and during the first 10 minutes, someone had a sheet of paper and he wrote down all the transactions that were happening in that 10 minutes. Joe sends to Mary one Bitcoin, Mary sends to Bob two Bitcoins or whatever. And those are all written down on that sheet of paper. And after 10 minutes, the alarm goes off, and all those trusty robots out there in the world grab that sheet of paper and try to find a magic number that will take all the transactions in that page and, let's just say, make it add up to zero. keep it simple. And there's only one magic number out there, and it's not obvious what it is. You have to guess and try, guess and try. So it becomes a lottery for all those computers to see who can guess the number that wraps all of that sheet of paper up into a cryptographically unchangeable document. And whoever finds that number by sheer luck first gets a few bitcoins as payment for having done the work, like winning a lottery. And then that piece of paper is put in the three-ring binder, and a clean sheet of paper is grabbed. That's another block in the blockchain, and the process repeats. So over time, we fill up this three-ring binder, which is tied together using this cryptographic technique, and into a chain of those documents that can't be unwoven, because each new sheet of paper put in there is sewn together cryptographically with all the other ones. So the three-ring binder is the chain, the sheets of paper are the blocks, and what you have is a ledger that is incorruptible, because once it's been built, everybody in the world, all those trusty robots, have a copy of it, and nobody can come along and change it and put in their own, you know, transfer money to someone else or steal or whatever. And so that's the magic of the blockchain. What you write on the sheet of paper could vary from one concept to another. Something I haven't mentioned is, well, Bitcoin can be thought of as a little company that does one thing on the blockchain, which is write down who has all the Bitcoins and keep track of transfers. But on BitShares, it's a full-up digital currency exchange. So the things that are written on its blocks are much more sophisticated. They're all the transactions, buy orders and sell orders, and dozens and dozens of different kinds of transactions. So it's a much more complicated set of functions that get written on a sheet of paper. And then the other difference is it takes Bitcoin 10 minutes to fill out one of those sheets of paper, and it takes BitShares 3 seconds. So those are kind of the differences. But they're both using the blockchain structure of producing a ledger that can't be fiddled with after it's been sewed into the three-ring binder.
Wow, that is amazing. And so I assume then that because you have this ledger that is open to any and everyone, and it cannot be tampered with, that essentially it makes it easy for me to know where this Bitcoin has been. I'm assuming, I could be dead wrong, but I'm assuming that, you know, if we think about, you know, the dollar and some of the illegal activity that has gone on and then has been laundered, you know, using certain methods and then put back into the system again, I'm assuming that this open technique of keeping track and documenting is for those purposes, or am I way off here?
No, one thing characteristic absolutely is that every single transaction that's ever happened on Bitcoin is laid bare on the public blockchain for everybody to inspect. And that way you can trace every transaction that's ever happened back to where it came from, and people who claim that this is used for nefarious purposes are, you know, just spreading fear, uncertainty, and doubt, but it's not true. It's all right there. Now, the one thing you can do is you can create an anonymous address, and you can transfer funds to another anonymous address, and nobody knows who did it. But how did you get Bitcoin into that first address? It came from somewhere. You know, and so people are able to examine the blockchains and do what's called forensic analysis and pretty well figure out anything else. So other methods are needed if you want true privacy, but Bitcoin itself, as implemented, is wide open and transparent.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. I love that. I love that about Bitcoin and BitShares and all these digital currencies. I mean, I just love it, and I can really kick myself for not becoming more interested in it, you know, earlier than what I, you know, have become. And then before we wrap up today's show, Stan, I can't let you go without asking you this question. And that is digital currency, you know, what is available, is it a fixed amount, or can more be created? And you know, let me ask you in this way, because if you think about stocks, right, you know, mm-hmm. a company goes public, or maybe they've been public, right? And so there's X amount of shares available. There's a definitive, you know, cap that could be available in the market of stocks owned or traded, right? And so is digital currency set up that way, or can currency be created in a similar way, right, that ideologically, right, that the Federal Reserve creates, you know, dollars and controls money supply?
All of the above. We could create the dollar on the blockchain in BitShares, and we could do all the rotten things to that dollar that the Federal Reserve is doing in terms of printing new money with quantitative easing. BitShares itself has a fixed supply that can never change, and so in that sense, it's honest money, no way to cheat. If I'm using the blockchain to issue tickets to my concert, I only issue enough tokens to match the number of seats I have for sale. If I have something to sell that varies in quantity and I can make more of them, then I can print more money. So there's many, many different reasons why you want a fixed supply or a variable supply. It depends on what you're doing. And on the BitShares network, you can find out about it at bitshares.org, it's a smart coin factory. You can make any of those kind of coins. You can make coins that are backed by gold. But, of course, if you do that, those are only as good as the person promising to redeem that coin for a real ounce of gold.
Correct.
You know, so, you know, and then there's one more category I got to warn your listeners about real quick, and that's called the ICO, the initial coin offering. It's all the rage. People basically are selling what amounts to securities, if they do it wrong, by telling people, hey, you buy this coin, and you'll own a piece of our new business. And a lot of naive investors buy those coins, and people have raised tens of millions of dollars or more, hundreds of millions of dollars in some cases, on, you know, something written on a napkin that has no basis. And then after they raise the money, they run off with the money, leaving people stuck with a worthless token. And that's mixed right in with people who do it right and, you know, carefully document what they're doing, what their business plan is, follow all the rules, get the SEC to approve it, and have a real live, honest-to-goodness, bona fide security, and those trade side-by-side, and a buyer has to beware because they're scam coins mixed right in with high-quality securities. And so, you know, buyer beware.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Definitely appreciate you sending that bat signal out. Unfortunately, you know, we do live in a society where they're going to take advantage, you know, obviously in a criminal way, any way that they can, especially on something that is on the verge of just exploding. And I truly believe that digital currency is here to stay. It is not going anywhere. And, you know, myself, I'll admit, I just want to learn more and eventually own and trade it myself. So Stan, I cannot thank you enough for coming on today. I'm definitely going to have you back. Really quickly here before we wrap up, please share once again with our listeners how you can be reached if they want to pick your brain and where they can learn more about Bitcoin, BitShares, this digital currency. Just let us know.
Okay. The best place, one-stop shopping, billionherocampaign.com. That's where we're going to demonstrate that you haven't missed out. We've donated $1 million and going to show how in the next couple of years we can grow that to $1 billion to be given away to things people vote for. And the same thing we're doing with that prize is what you can do with your own little savings accounts. You can buy $1 worth, and over the next couple of years, if we do everything that we will tell you there how to do, that dollar could be worth $1,000, just like a dollar's worth of Bitcoin a few years later was worth $1,000. And you can learn all about that at billionherocampaign.com, where people can go and essentially play a little game that learns how to use all this stuff, and in the process, help decide how to give that money away.
Awesome, awesome, good stuff. There's no better way than playing with dummy money, right? So really good platform. I think it's a really good service that you're providing just to help people understand how digital currency works, because it is here to stay. Stan, thank you once again for coming on. Definitely going to have you back. This is Everything to Ching. I am your host, Jamin Armstead. This has been another wonderful segment, and I will be back next week. Until then, you folks take care and have a blessed day. Time for change. This is where I pick up my passion and I say,
should live this way.